Rob Twitt says, "Kamoichen hatchanim hamusarium hinam soisim zedze." I'm using the thing, so I know it's probably it's around page 95 in the sefer, which says, "Kamoichen hatchanim hamusarium."
96.
"Kamoichen hatchanim hamusarium." Okay, let's try to finish this Torah today. This Maimer of Shalom Hadayah, Shalom Hadayah. The beginning of the Maimer, until now, the Tzaddik was talking about clashing philosophies, ideologies, clashing conflicting ways of thought, of thinking, and how the Sherish, the Yisoid of all of those conflicting thoughts, and the only way to make Shalom between all of them is by returning to the Raza De'echa, to that underlying unifying principle, which is Elokus. But now, as we began at the end last week, which is where we're up to, now Rav Kook is explaining that it's not just a matter of conflicting ideas, but when it comes to conflicting values as well. Right and wrong, good and bad. The world is filled with machlokes, with the conflicting values, not just thoughts and ideas, not just opinions and philosophies, but values. One person says this is the epitome of evil, and the other one says no, this is the epitome of kindness and good. So conflicting values is unbelievably confusing and painful. It's one thing to make a mistake in one's way of thinking; it's another thing to make a mistake in one's priorities of right and wrong and good and bad. So kamolkein hatchanim hamusarim hinam saisim ze ezeh. So even when it comes to Musa, meaning Musa is not the way we usually use the word Musa nowadays, it means values, ethics, morals. For one person, something is a moral ideal, and for the other person, it's immoral. This is immoral. Is it possible to make shalom? There's such stiris between these things. Stiris, conflict. There's so many conflicts. So Rav Aviner explains, Drishais Musarios Saisa Zuzu. Adam, this is what we read last day of Shabbos. Adam Anav Leirotzalachiach, Adam Kalshu. You have a person who, for instance, is extremely, extremely humble. He's very humble. And as a result of that, he's not able to tell his children off if he needs to. He's not able to give teichacha to the children. And the Torah requires us to help other people, especially our own family members, to do the right thing. So there seems to be a steer between these two values. On the one hand, humility is certainly an extremely admirable trait. Anova is a great thing. On the other hand, your kids are falling apart. Your students or whatever it might be, there are those around you who could use your help, instruction, and guidance. So there's what appears to be a steerer between the midah of anivus, anava, and the requirement of the Torah, and the care and sensitivity and the need to help other people to do the right thing and to give them direction and to give them meaning in their lives. So there's a steer. This happens all the time. This is just an example that Rav Aviner gives. And of course, the greatest steer of all is between Emes and Shalom. As we were talking about at the end last week, Moshe Rabbeinu was Emes and Aaron HaKohen is Shalom. And Moshe Rabbeinu's Mahalach was Hikav Adin Sahar, like Beis Shammai, the Mahalach of Din, of clarity, of truth. There's no compromising. Aaron HaKohen's entire existence was to make compromises, to work out deals. Aaron's entire life is working out compromises. Moshe Rabbeinu's Mahalach was Moshe Emes V'Sar Asar Emes. Yikav HaDin is Ahar. There's Din. There's the law. This was required by law. There's the absolute. And then there's that world of Aaron HaKohen, of Oyev Shalom, Raydev Shalom, Arsavis Makav Natayra. Oyev Shalom and Raydev Shalom, and a person who's Oyev Shalom is always making compromises and always trying to work out deals and concessions and so on. He's always diverted and diverting others from the absolute truth. And yet, as I mentioned last week, we see that the Navi says about Aaron HaKohen, Sifsei Kohen Yishmudas Ki Emes Haisa Befiu. He was a man of truth. So there is some way to resolve this apparent conflict between these two ideals of Emes and Shalom. There is a way to do that. On the surface, these two ideals are irreconcilable. If something is not the absolute truth, it's false. And yet Aaron was saying, no, there's a truth. There's a truth of bringing this husband and wife together. So I'm going to tell the wife that her husband is crazy about her and he feels so bad that he got into an argument, even though it's a lie. So in the world of Moshe Rabbeinu, it's sheker. Again, it's a very coarse and ridiculous example. Moshe Rabbeinu knew better than us and so on. I'm just using this as a model of Emes and Sheker and Emes and Shalom. Aaron HaKohen is saying to his brother, yes, Rav Moshe, it's true, I'm lying. The husband never said that he misses his wife. However, the Inyan of Shalom is a higher truth than the truth of exactly what took place today. It's a higher truth. Now, that's very dangerous territory. And without Torah, without Halacha, and without the Svarma Kedoshim, we would be lost. Because anybody can make up his own truth and his own great ideal and can begin to make all kinds of sacrifices and all kinds of concessions and so on that are not supposed to be made. But the only way to know the truth is by the study of Torah and what Rav Kook is speaking about through this entire section, all of these Mamorim of Chochmas HaKodesh, especially when it comes to Rosei Torah, to Pnimius HaTorah, which is focused on Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So he says, Amius, Emes Le'itim Avila Le'Yitzirus Machlokes. Amenas La'asa Shalom, Tzorach L'Farmen L'Shakir. In order to make Shalom, you oftentimes you have to compromise with the truth in order to make Shalom. Kol Echad Bonehu Olamo B'Tzur V'Chavar Radikalis. Everybody builds his own world in an expansive and radical way. From the time that we're children, each one of us was indoctrinated to a certain mahalach by our parents, by our teachers, of what's right and what's wrong. And everybody builds his entire and her entire universe from that very often radical way of thinking, a very extreme way of thinking. And over time, it develops into a whole binyan of, again, of that person's view of right, wrong, good, evil, and so on. V'nechoshesh klal l'oso hatzir ha'olami v'os na'tvios shel hatchonim ha'musarim ha'acherim. And he is not in the slightest bit concerned with, nor does he even entertain the thought that it could be that he's wrong. It could be that there's another mahalach. It could be that the tchonim ha'musarim ha'acherim, it could be that he has been banking on a certain mahalach that he was raised with, and he's invested himself entirely into this way of identifying what's right and what's wrong. And it could be that there's something to listen to on the other side, but he's completely, completely shut and closed. He's not open to anything other than what he has convinced himself or others have convinced him to be the absolute truth or what's right, and this is the only way to do it, and so on. So Rav Avner explains, Kol erech musari boneh es atzmo bilvad. When it comes to values, every shita, when it comes to values, builds itself to the exclusion of all other values. That's just how it is. That becomes your way of identifying good, your way of identifying bad. And you develop that, and you build that. Ha'echad omer, so he gives an example, obviously something that's very much burning with Rav Avinir, for all those who are a little bit familiar with his writings and with him. Kol ma shema'anyen osi hu Eretz Yisrael. So you have a person who, Eretz Yisrael has become the ultimate ideal of his life. Eretz Yisrael and Binyan Ha'aretz, the development of Eretz Yisrael, and so on, that has become the ultimate the ultimate measure of whether you are really a faithful Jew or not. It's not your esrog, it's not your lulav, it's not your learning, it's not your davening. It's your this value that you have, this feeling that you have, that the ikar is Eretz Yisrael. That's the mahalach this person has. V'ha'acher ha'sholom hu kol yeshuso. So you have one Jew. So you have the chever from Gush, you know, the world of Gush Emunim. That chever, the very very choshev elach yidden, that chever believes that no matter what, we have to fight for Shleimus Haaretz. Til Bavitch Rebbe Yitzchus Yehuda believed in the same thing. Not one inch of Eretz Yisrael to give away to the Arabs. Right? This was a point of machloikis, not personal machloikis, chas v'chalila, but Rav Soloveitchik did not agree with that. Rav Yosher Ber felt that concessions should be made for the sake of peace. Lubavitch Rebbe was fahitzed against one inch. Lubavitch Rebbe had thousands of sikhs that, like Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Chalab said, that cutting away a piece of Eretz Yisrael is like cutting away a piece of my heart, of my flesh. Rav Soloveitchik did not agree with that. Rabbi Avadi Yosef, there were different tzaddikim that had different shitas regarding Shleimus Haaretz. Shleimus Haaretz. And each one is Yehard Valyaver. The other side is destroying Eretz Yisrael, is destroying Am Yisrael. And then the other one says, how can you, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Rav Yosher Ber's son-in-law, the great, also a huge Talmud Chacham and Tzaddik, so Rav Aaron Lichtenstein said that this Indian of sacrificing lives to occupy Hebron, right? Well, who made that into, so he said, who made that into Tachlis of Yiddishkeit, that you should be sitting in Hebron and there are thousands of Yishmaelim standing around you that are shooting at your kids? What are you, out of your mind? And is that proper according to Halacha? And the Lubavitch Rebbe says, Hebron is ours. What do you think this is? Hebron is ours. And each side is convinced. And the other side, Ein Maladaber, Ein Maladaber. We love them, we respect you, everything is gewaldi. But this is not the way. Simply not, it can't be. It cannot be. And each one, of course, has a whole tremendous, tremendous artillery of chazals and rishonim and achronim and everybody, you know, everybody's got their quotations from all over the place. And it's two opposing views, mamish, a melchama, in what is the value of life? So, for instance, what's been going on this past year? It's a huge machlokes. It's an interesting one to think about. Also, how this works in halacha. There's a lot to talk about. It's not for now. But on the one hand, you had those going around saying even every life, even one life, right? One life. Then you had others that were saying, to let an entire country, economy, go to pieces. That's also an Indian of life. People are losing their jobs. They don't have work. Drinking, suicide, divorce. Everything is going totally out of control. And you have these other, even one life, even achshash, rochayt, ma'oid, that one person in your community could be infected. For that, all of the business, everything, the whole town, locked down, shut down. These are two values that are at war with each other. This value is claiming the importance or the not negotiable importance of what? Of human life. Even one life. The other is saying that how do we identify life? Where did you come up with this idea that we're going to sacrifice perhaps millions and millions of lives in emotionally and even it could be even long term physically? Where did you come up with this idea that we could make such a sacrifice and that we're required to make such a sacrifice in order to take care of the individuals or a tiny percentage of the population? And each side has all kinds of proofs and all kinds of the world is divided into different opinions about this and that, and we have this in halacha as well. There'll be all kinds of opinions about this. You know, the overwhelming evidence in halacha is clearly not the whole one life thing. It's not a Jewish, it's not bichlal, not a Jewish mal. But I'm not going to go to that right now. But this is a machlokes, and not so much in deyas. It's not in thoughts, or it's not science. It's not myth. It's a moral judgment. And there's a huge divide in the whole world right now that's still going on regarding this. There's still places in America, you know, so the lockdown, closed down, the government says, well, this Fauci, this has to be everything has to be locked down. And the other ones, and the others, and the governor of this place or that place, I'm not so up on the latest, but the local politicians are saying, what's this? Are you out of your mind? You know what's going on over here? The whole country is being destroyed. Are you out of your mind? People also, so they might not be infected with the disease today, but the family is ruined without parnas, without anything, and all kinds of tsaros and the drugs and the things that are going on. The whole country is a mess. So these are in each side is harig v'yave. You can't get into a conversation with the other side. You can't get into a conversation. You talk to the other side. You can't get anywhere. This is the opinion that the person has invested himself or herself into, and it's coming from whatever the sum total of that person's thoughts, emotions, indoctrination, education, whatever it is. All that stuff has now come to this question: What is your opinion regarding shutting down the economy, vis-a-vis, the individual? We have these questions were huge questions this whole year. You know, everything, every shul, and every community, what to do, and screaming at each other from both sides. And this one says this is the only way. And the one says, that's ridiculous, it's not the only way. This is the only way. And milchama. And not to see the other side, bechlal. And if you talk about, look, even though you don't agree with that, can you hear it? Can you try to be a little bit understanding or sensitive of where they're coming from? Boom. Kotsk, you know? What do you talk? Nothing. Nothing. Like the if I had recordings of the conversations of this past year, and just, you know, if people will say the same thing about the conversations, you know, or recordings of Weinberg, which the problem is they do have recordings. there's a problem with that. So, what is this? What is this? You know, where did we ever say something? Somebody was telling me the other day that he said, why don't you come to shul? What's the matter with you? You're vaccinated 12 times already, and you're, what's the matter with you? So come daven a little bit. Why can't you go? So he says, no, they need him in this. They need him in the tent someplace. And this, I said, let them daven at home. It sounds very cruel when I said that. Whoever heard of such a thing? Daven at home if you don't want to go to. If you can't, there's something chas v'shalom. You're worried. I understand that. And then according to Allah, you're an anus, so you don't have to go to shul. But why do you have to hold? Why are you making shuls intense and holding people hostage? What is that? I understood it for 7, 8 months. I understood. I get it. And I never said a word about all the months. Not a word. And we had our tents. And I you go to whatever tent you want to go to. Fine. But at this point, you're telling me that you really are chalishing to come back to shul. But there are 3 people, 4 people, that they were good to you and you needed a tent. They were there for you, and now they're asking you, we need you for a minyan. So, daven with them. And I say, good, tell those people should be told they could daven at home. They're not for daven in a minyan. They want to daven in a minyan. No, they're an anusim, and you want to daven in a shul. That priority of going to shul in halacha is stronger than that priority. That's the din. You don't have to do that. There's no minyan of doing that. That those 3 people should have a minyan by you davening outside for the rest of your life. That's what's going to be happening now, because people have now taken this on as a way of life. You see what's going on. This is now a way of life. This is way past medicine and science. This is a new way of life. That's why the tents have gotten fancier and warmer and bigger. Jews don't throw out money. They're smart people.
And Kiddush is after.
Yeah, Jews are smart. You don't like put like fixtures in your tent if you plan on leaving in 2 weeks. Jews don't do stuff like that. A guy might do that. A Jew doesn't do that. Jews don't do stuff like that. If you're putting in fixtures and you're like hanging up a picture, you know, of a tzaddik in your tent, means you're thinking long term. You're thinking long term. What about the optimism? Maybe the virus is going to go away. Maybe, no. You mean then it means shul again for 2.5 hours, and I got to listen to the about tefillah I hate, and the rabbi pipes up every Shabbos, and I don't get my favorite herring. I only get these only pickled, and this I like schmaltz, and I have my tent, I have my tent chevra. It's a new way of life. COVID is a new way of life. The virus is a new way of... It's not anymore a matter of disease. It's a way of living. And if you try talking to the chevra about it, well, you get mishabaris left and right. You can't talk. And then at some point they'll say, you don't care about human life. I don't care about human life. I care about human life just as much as you do. I want to live, and I want all my friends to live. I want every Jew in the world to live. I even want non-Jews to live. As long as they don't bother me, I have no problem. I have no problem with butterflies being alive. I don't want anybody to die from a virus. I care about life just as much as you do. I just disagree with you. No, you don't care about life. You don't care about life. Like when I mentioned when I first moved in here and I didn't make a Yom HaShoah program. There was a little bit of pressure. There was a lot of pressure on me from the community to make Yom HaShoah. And a guy told me, some American guy told me, that obviously the Holocaust doesn't mean that much to you. That's what a guy told me. I don't know who he was. He called me on the phone. And he said that you didn't call, you know. I said, the Holocaust doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean much to me. Now, where are your parents from? So he tells me my Lower East Side, and the other one is from out of town someplace. I said, yeah, okay, my parents went to camp in the summer in Mauthausen, Auschwitz, and you're telling me that, and your father was in camp, you know, Mossad or something, and Mossad, what was it called? Mossad, yeah. So, and your father was in Camp Mossad, and you're telling me, I don't care about the Holocaust. I don't agree with you about that kind of a celebration. I don't agree that you have a bunch of boys and girls singing together, holding up 6 candles, and having Nebuchadnezzar, an old lady, come and light a candle. I don't agree with that. I don't think that's a way to celebrate the Holocaust. I don't like Shoah business. I don't like that. So I don't agree with you. So what? I respect you. I don't make trouble. I don't protest it. I get it. You have it in you like that, and I get it. But don't tell me I don't care about the Holocaust because you think that Yom HaShoah is the only way that you could show that you care about the Holocaust. The Holocaust. It's milchama of... This is not any of... These are not opinions. These are not deos. It's touching upon certain values, and it gets very, very heated. And that's what he's explaining. He said, "Eitzel Hashlishi, Torah Ba'aris Ba'atzmuso." Then you have, let's say, he's talking about in Eretz Yisrael, his chevra, right? So you have this guy, Shleimus Aretz. Shleimus Aretz, no matter what. Then you have another one that says, no, you can't sacrifice lives to occupy, to be back in heaven. You don't die to be back in heaven. Then you have a sweet little Haredish guy sitting there and saying, Torah! Everything is Torah. What are you? You're both crazy. The whole thing is only learning. Veitzel Arivi, Democrat Yehikar. Then you could have a guy. He's a secular Jew, and the greatest value in his life is democracy. So this is you know, when you live in Eretz Yisrael, you're living in this cholent, right? This is like a cholent. It's unbelievable the fire in that cholent. These different mahalchim in Eretz Yisrael. Here it's like conversation, you know, you could talk about it, but over there the imam is sitting in it. They're sitting in it. I mean, they're risking their lives. That's how they live. They're, it's not stam. Deis. They're living in it. Tzorach lahakir ki yesh hisnagshus ben arachim. We have to see there's a clash. There's a clash between values. You know that when you talk to 90% of the chevra, it's not like they work the in and out philosophically. It's not like if someone goes around saying just one life, even one life. It's not like they went through the Rambam and they went through the Gemaras and they went through Tosfos and the Shittim Gubetzis and they went Shulchan Aruch and they went through the whole thing. And they said, you know, it seems to me that this is the way it is. They don't know what they're talking about. They're stumbling. The same with the other side. Everyone's just hollering and screaming. There's some hergish, a chush that they have, or that their rabbi, their doctor said something. like I had, you know, this. There's only like one doctor in the whole world, and I said to people, I spoke to a different doctor. Yes, it's not so big, maybe, and it's not your doctor. It's a different doctor. Crazy. There's no other doctor, and then this Rav said so. So I said, he's a very big Talmud Chacham. I respect him very, very much. I spoke to a different posek who's also very respected and very great. No. Why not? Why is only your doctor and your Rav? Why not the other doctor and the Rav? Yeah. Can't go there at all. At all. It became such a thing. So the question is, can these conflicts be resolved? That's a big question. Can they be resolved? You have here Schneim, Ochs, and Metal, Zerman, Himitz, Zemakulish, Zemakulish, Himitz, Zemakulish. They're both holding on to the same talis. They're both holding, these Jews are all holding on to the same Yerushalayim, to the same Tel Aviv. Everybody's holding on to the same shul. Everybody's holding on to the same talis. So is there any way? Is the Teres is Yachloiku? Teres is, Yemunach Hadzi of Elio. What do you do? Is there any way to resolve? Is there anything to make shalom? And our understanding of what shalom is has been very much affected by the secular world. That shalom means that you have to transition over to the other person's way of thinking or feeling. That's not what it means. That's not what it means, that I have to agree with you. Let me show you. Yesh lakir ki kol pen musari hu chelik me hashalom. See, this is the key. And this is what Rav Kook is trying to give over to us. The key is that every one of these deos and of course, you have some people that are stam, they're crazy, but reasonable people and good people, decent, reasonable people, every one of these different opinions. There is something to each one of them, to these values. There is something to them. The one that's screaming about the importance of life, nachon, he's 100% right. A human life is of unbelievable importance. He's right. There's definitely truth to that. And the one that's screaming about, well, the whole well-being of a community, of an economy, and so on. That's a great value, and that has a tremendous impact upon people's lives. He's also right. He's also right. Now, there's truth in all of these. Because ki kol pen musari hu chelik mi hashalom. Pen musari, every way of thinking, every way of every value has in it a chelik of the whole picture. It's a chelik of hashalom. Ha'emes v'hashalom hem giluyim shel dover shumi'al ha'emes shumi'al hashalom. But the only way you could come to peace is if there's a value that transcends both emes and shalom, using the example of emes and shalom. Because I could be, two people could be at peace with each other, could be shalom, and they could have a different way of thinking. But the only way that there could be shalom is if there's a transcendent truth that is higher than both of those. That's the ultimate value. The ultimate value, the higher and ultimate value. Which in Rav Kook's Torah, which is the Torah of Pnimis HaTorah and Kabbalah, is HaTov HaKlali. The Tov HaKlali, he calls the Tov HaKlali. The general good, but the Tov HaKlali means the all-inclusive good, which is everything is Hashem. HaTov HaKlali. Ish Tov, and with a person, and Ish Tov, who Ish Emes V'Shalom. Tov is the highest value. And an Ish Tov is an Ish Emes V'Shalom. He's an Ish Emes V'Shalom. Both of those can coexist. Ketzad Linhog L'Maisa B'Chal Mikre Prati Yesh Levar. How one is to conduct himself in each particular case requires birurim. Again, with halacha, and so on, to think it through, to talk to great people, whatever it might be. But it doesn't mean that there's a conflict, per se, between Emes and Shalom. They are conflicting values. But one person is able to contain both of those values simultaneously, both Emes and Shalom. Because there's no question that Moshe Rabbeinu was an Ish Shalom, not just Emes. There's no question that Aaron HaKohen was an Ish Emes, not just an Ish Shalom. What's the overriding personality and value? That's something else. But as far as one human being able to contain conflicting values and applying them at different times, that's something that can only take place through Dveikus B'Hashem. That's why we say, I'll give you an example. I've spoken about this before. It's a Torah from the Yisrael, but it's found in a number of Svarim. For example, we say in the morning, Shabbos morning, Aderes Vamuna, right? So in Aderes Vamuna, you say, Hanoi V'Hanetzach. What's Noi? What does Noi mean? Beauty. Netzach? Eternity. That's a contradiction. Noi and Netzach is a contradiction. Something is beautiful the first moment you see it. And maybe a little bit longer. It ages, and you become used to it. Netzach, eternity, is and Noi are not... Chai v'kayim. Chai v'kayim. Those are two opposing things. Chai and Kayim. Chai is the chiyus, when something is alive. Kayim means that something is everlasting. So that if you go through, there are many, many, many contradictions. And when you say in the davening, Hanoi v'hanetzach, beauty and eternity, l'chai olamim, is the one who is alive forever. Every moment is alive. What that means is that there are an infinite amount of opposites. Hashem created a world of opposites. Everything is like that. Those opposites, when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is noisei kol ha-hafachim. It's not a contradiction. Hashem is at the same time noi, beauty, and netzach, and eternity. At the same time, Chai, it's like he just came alive, Kivyahol, and V'kayim, and he's forever. Can a human being somehow make peace between conflicting values? And the answer is yes, he can make peace. But only if he's Dovuk, he believes in and is bound to Chai Olam. That one for whom there are no contradictions. Because then a person is able, through that Dveikus, which we're going to talk more about, through that Dveikus, the person is able to live in such a way where he applies Emes under certain circumstances. Emes is the ultimate value. And there's another situation where Shalom is the ultimate value. He has within him, he has something within, in his pocket. He has one pocket that says Emes, another pocket has Shalom. And the greatness of a person, of a tzaddik, is to know when to take out emes and when to take out shalom. The only way you could be such a person is you dovuk to the chai olamim. If you live in the absolute ultimate truth of chai olamim, with Torah mitzvahs. Now, obviously, lahavdil, a Muslim thinks he's doing the same thing, and a Christian thinks he's doing the same thing. And we have no interest in convincing otherwise. Mashiach will come, and there'll be a bureau of what Chai Olam means. This is the world that we believe in, and we were at Har Sinai, and this is what we received from our parents and our grandparents. And our argument is not with the rest of the world. Within ourselves, we have to know that a Jew is able to contain within him these two opposing things. The same way the Zohar says that a Jew is able on one side of his heart to be crying and the other side is able to be laughing. L'chai olam. L'chai olam. How is it possible such a thing? That the one side of the heart is broken and the other side of the heart is... How could there be such a thing? How could it be? It's a stira. Laughing and crying is a stira. And the tzaddikim said only Yid could be such a thing. There was only such a thing by a Yid. Because only by Yid there's that dveik is the chai olam. And chai olam is a noiv and netzach. Dancing and crying. Happy, At the same time, like Chazal say, b'mistam tiv kanavshi, that Hashem is crying in one place and he's laughing in another place. Oyz v'chedva v'mkoyma, b'mistam tiv kanavshi, Hashem is laughing, he's crying. What is he doing? He's laughing and crying. So can you laugh and cry at the same time? The answer is yes, you can. Yes, you can. You can laugh and cry at the same time. A Jew can do such a thing. I know people like that. I've experienced that. You've experienced that, laughing and crying at the same time. You don't become completely overcome and lost in one emotion. You don't give yourself over and become a slobbering fool and lose yourself. There's laughing and crying, even laughing, at the same time that you're crying. There is such a thing. But it's in the world that's called Chai Olamim. And what Rav Kook is saying is that Dveikus, the Chai Olamim, comes only by becoming it, by entering into the transcendent world of Pnimius HaTorah, of Rosei Torah, where there are no machlokes. Because in that world of Rosei Torah, it's not that there aren't other views. It's that there's the absolute transcendent ultimate view, which is Toiv. Toiv means, right now, what is right? What is right? So you could be blessed with four children, with five children. The trick is, what's right for Beryl is not right for Shmerl. I mean, what's good for Beryl is not good for Shmerl. I remember that I had my girls were in different schools. And somebody I met, he says, what's with you? You have, what do you have in different schools? Like, I said, what's wrong with that? I mean, aside from the fact you have to pay for each dinner. Like, what's wrong? what's you have to go to the dinners. Paying is a halbitzar. Going. So, what's wrong with that? Well, you don't believe in Benos Beis Yaakov. You don't believe in Tig. You don't believe in this school. You don't believe in that school. So no, they're all great, but I think this place is better for me, or this place is better for Suri, and we feel that this place is better for Chomi, this place is better for this one, this place for, you know, for whatever. It's just different kids, and we think that this place would be a better place for that kid. Is that Tovlo? I don't know. You ask me, but don't you have a Mahaluch? You're just a confused, you know. That's consistent with how confused you are with Rav Kook and Rabbi Nachman and Lubavitch and all your Rebbeim are Litvaks. What's the matter with you? I'm trying to be good. And I find good in Rav Kook. I find good in Rabbi Nachman. I find good in Rav Shach. I find good in all the Litvaks. I find good in the Sfarad. I'm looking for good. Who said it has to be Davka Zoy? I find good in these places. I find good in them. They're all pieces of the most beautiful thing that Hashem has made in the world, which is called Klal Yisrael, which is called Knesset Yisrael. It's an ingathering of all the good of all of these Jews. It doesn't bother me. So he's saying, how could one be one? I said one was in Brooklyn, and Suri was in Brooklyn, and then this one is over here, and this one's over there, and everybody's saying, but this school is their big shame. You know what they did to my kid. See, you know, you people talk about schools. Unless that school did good for their kid, and all of a sudden it's a gewaldig school. Gewaldig the school. The other one's a Rishoyim. Biggest Rishoyim the school. And then you always know that something happened with that kid. It's not because of a certain inyu of the school. Rishoyim. Okay, Rishoyim. There's good in this place, there's good in that place. You know, in each place there are problems, but there's good. If you're mechapes et atov, To look for good. Then in that world of Toiv, there could be Emes and Shalom, and there are conflicting things, and it's a Beseder. As long as you're always focused on Chai Olamim. You have different kids. This kid, sometimes there's a kid that needs to be not in any yeshiva at all. And then they'll say, oh, there's a Groyser Rasha. You're the biggest rush in the world. He said, listen, buddy, it's my kid. If I don't put my kid into this special program or some school, my kid's going to die. Forget about whether he's going to put on Rabbeinu Tam Tfilin. He's not going to be a normal person. He's got to get help. And the schools can't help him, so I got to put him in this school. And you got to be careful not to listen to what anybody says, because the welt is crazy. You have to know the toiv that your kid needs. It's the biggest thing to know what is best for my child. There's no shita. There's no mahalach. Ma tov bishvilo. What is good for him? And if it turns out that you have one kid that wants to go with a shtraimel, the other wants to go with a kippah sugah, and the other wants to be a svaydan, how you do that? But if the other one, everything is, ma is a tov lecha, if it's within the world of Shulchan Aruch. Is it tov? Do you know, for what I'm saying now, how I would be how I would be lynched, especially if I would be talking this way. Like get up on Rehov Rabbi Akiva and start giving a speech like this, I'd be lynched. It can't be. There's tovin into Eckhart also. As much as the whole Mahalach is a pachet, but there's tovin and there's tovin there also. There's a tovin, a certain kind of a kanoz and a certain conviction. There's tovin that. And you know, people made Rav Kook's life absolutely miserable. And he loved them. You know why? Because he was always focused on the Tov Shabbat. On the Tov Shabbat. Mia Yisha Chavetz Chaim, or Yom Liros Tov. And when a person has an Ayin Tova, he's able to see, even in the Tovei Karta, as crazy as they are, he's able to see Yesh B'zeh Mashu. Yesh B'zeh Mashu. Remember when I was in high school, I had a Rebbe that was the sweetest tzaddik. He was a Stalinist chassid. He was nifta a few years ago. He was a Stalinist chassid. And his father learned by Rav Kook. They were Stalinist chassidim. His father learned by Rav Kook. And he was very connected to Rav Kook. He had a picture of Rav Kook he put in the class. Even though he was a Stalinist chassid, he had a picture of Rav Kook. And another tzaddikim, he put also a picture of Rav Kook. And one day in the Shia, a conversation came up about something like, you know, the Kanoim and Meir Shar, maybe into a character, whatever, something like that. And one of the kids in the class said that said something like they're Amalek, like that. Then into a character are Amalek. And I remember that this sweet, peaceful Stalna Chassid didn't get angry. He walked over to him. In those days, he gave him a cross the face. Just like that. And he walked back to him, sat down. He continued learning. And then the next day, he said, who do you think you are? He says, I'm from Yerushalayim. He says, I don't agree with these people, but the likelihood of their children being Jewish is much greater than your kids being Jewish, grandchildren being Jewish. And if you think that there's nothing to what they're saying, there is something to what they're saying. I don't agree with it. But there's a certain beauty in their convictions. There's a certain beauty in their insanity. He didn't use that word. But there's a certain, there's something there. Tachlis is to luchapes et ha-tov, to look for tov. That's the ultimate, to look for tov. Now we don't have, how do you know what tov is? So b'chasha, we have tzaddikim, we have the Torah. And the big tzaddikim never say about another tzaddik zelo tov. They'll never talk that way. It's only the chassidim talk like that. There'll never be that a tzaddik says ulo tov, another tzaddik. There'll be machlokes. They're fighting about certain days or shitas. That's always that's leibedik. That's good. That's how we learn. But to say on another tzaddik hulo tov. Do you think that the Satmar Rebbe ever said about Lubavitcher Rebbe hulo tov? No, the shitas fight, but lo tov. No such thing. Lo tov. And if someone talks that way, he's not a tzaddik. Lo tov. It's not such a thing. I mean, there are people that are apikarsim, you know, they're chutz the Torah mitzvahs. I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about in the world of Shulchan Aruch. There's a higher value, and this value is toif. Toif. Tova klali. Chef, you want to?
Yeah. I don't know about other people, but this week I'm sure people got, oh, Yoshul Yom Asma, Yoshul Yom Hashava. Using this Mahalach Rebbe, what's the best way to peacefully answer these people of saying, Yoshul, did you say Halal? You know, the whole. So using this Mahalach, which
people still they were bothering you, really?
Me, yeah. I don't know.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
I got a couple of Ace Kodesh comments, whatever. But no, we all believe that. How do you give that over nicely without work? You know, we got Hasidim at work, we got it. So it becomes a whole thing. This guy brings in, you know, blue and white donuts. This guy yells at him. You know, the whole thing. Some is kidding around, and some is serious. But what's
I thought. Even the blue and white, even the guys that like your mother, I can't believe they eat those donuts. I mean, that's really impressive to give up a chocolate donut for a blue and white donut. That's impressive. That's. How does one deal with such things? I respect you. I love you. You have your tzaddikim. You have your teachers. They're great people. I'm only asking you to try to do a little research to understand that they're also wonderful and great and beautiful tzaddikim who have a different way than you. And not to get into any of the arguments, because they're not coming from a place of education. It's coming from what I was talking about earlier. It's coming from a place of emotions, values, indoctrination. It's coming from a different place. And if you would say, like, you know, do you ever go to the mikveh? Are you against mikvehs? You don't believe in going to the mikveh? He doesn't know about the mikveh. And it's not part of their, not part of that reality. Those Jews that they are upset because they've, most of them, I'm sorry to say, I'm not talking about the Gedolim of them, I'm talking about them, the rank and file. Let's face it, to be a little bit careful here, but Ruchnis doesn't do much for them, you know what I mean? Like, davening is not much. It's not much for them. Ruchnis, Avoida, it's not, doesn't do much. So, but they are very, very wonderful and holy Jews, and they care deeply about Yiddishkeit. And that one area that they can relate to is, you know, is Yom HaTzmaut and Yom HaShoah. I'm not saying this in general for everybody, but it's a lot of that. That it's that one area that they can relate to, and they look at you like the same person that told me, you don't care about the Holocaust, because I don't go in the way of Yom HaShoah. That's absurd. I don't care about Eretz Yisrael. In all of the yelling and screaming that come from these places, was there one Rav Kukshia there for the last 30 years? No. Just ask. One Rav Kukshia. It's not Pnimis of Eretz Yisrael. It's to hang up a flag in front of your building and to go one day of the year for a parade. That's what it is. That's what it means. It doesn't mean it's not something that's worked out in Pnimis. It's a feeling. And it comes from a place of Kedusha. I'm not saying Chalila. They're very holy people, but it's not an Indian of what does Hashem Yisbarach ask of me? It's not like that person got up in the morning before he put his flag on and what does Hashem Yisbarach want of me in my life? What's my tachlis in life? It's patriotism. You know? So some people, you know, you root for the Giants, you root for this, you root for that. You have your cause, and you're all excited about your cause, and that's your Yiddishkeit. If you're so excited, why do you love so much Yom HaTzmaut? Why is it that you haven't really said Hallel for the last 11 months, and just when it gets to this Hallel, you say it? You have to ask yourself that question, if you're honest. Like, why is it that the rest of Hallel, which L'chol HaDeis you have to say Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, L'chol HaDeis you have to say Hallel on the Shalosh Regalim. So, my Tyre Yid, why is it that those Hallels don't work for you? Which, there's no machlokes about those Hallels. Why is it that only this Hallel that you get all offensive about? Why are you not all upset about people that don't say the other Hallels? Why are you only upset about this Hallel? Which is a machlokes. The vast majority of Poskim say not to say Hallel. So why are you only upset about this Hallel? Like, why is that? But they're not, you can't go there. And that's why I'm not suggesting you go there. I'm only talking Sivishan Unas between us. You can't go there because they get all angry. Everybody starts getting angry. And they say, you don't love Israel. I don't love Israel. I love it just as much as you love it. Because I don't say Hallel on Yom HaTzmaut. I disagree with that. I don't love Eretz Yisrael. What does my love of Eretz have to do with that? Because that's the ultimate value in many of those circles, not God. The ultimate value is that Inyan of Eretz Yisrael. It's the ultimate value. It's not God. It's not God. It's not an Inyan of Hashem. If God was the ultimate value, they'd get just as excited about Hashanah Rab as they do about Yom HaTzmaut. It's not God. It's something else. It's something else. It's not God. Again, I'm not talking about everybody, Chas v'Chalil. You understand? And so I said, how about the tzaddikim? I'm talking about many of the chevre, the ones that usually the kind that come and say things like that to people. What does it have to do with God? It's not about God. Do you feel this way? Are you so upset? You're so angry that I don't. It bothers you that I don't. That in our shul that we don't have a Hallel Yom HaTzmaut. That bothers you that we don't have a Hallel Yom HaTzmaut. Why? Why does it bother you? It bothers you because you feel I should be talking more to God today. I should be saying more Kabbalah Chetilim today? Is it because you feel I'm ungrateful for God giving us our own place, a state of Israel? You think that I'm ungrateful for that? Do you think that because I don't say Hallel, I'm ungrateful? You're more grateful for the state of Israel because you have in your shul that party, and I'm less grateful for Israel than you are? Same thing like the Holocaust. The Holocaust means more to you because of a candle lighting ceremony, and less to me. Everyone in my family was killed there, and it means less to me. It has nothing to do with Torah. It has nothing to do with halacha. It has nothing to do with elokus. It has nothing to do with what's right, what's wrong. It has to do with a knee-jerk feeling and a sense, and it also comes from a certain upbringing and an indoctrination. If it was about Hashem, then you would be able to have room for both. I believe that my union with this and this subject is about Hashem. Therefore, I have no problems with people who say Halan Yom Ha'atzmaut. I might say I don't believe that's in halacha, because I know that my Rebbeim didn't do that, including Rav Soloveitchik. It was my Rebbe. Did not. And I don't agree with that in halacha. But I have a contention. Would I ever in my life go over to somebody and say, why do you say halal in your shul? I never in my life do such a thing. Say halal. Do that. I don't agree with it, but that's beautiful. Why does that person have a problem with me saying halal? Not saying halal. I don't have a problem with him saying halal. Why does he have a problem with me not saying halal? What does it bother him? That I didn't light a candle on Yom HaShoah, and that I didn't have a movie and have a scholar in residence to come speak about the Shoah. What does it bother him that I didn't make a ceremony? What does it bother him? Holom chapes et ha'emet. Holom chapes et ha'emet. He's not looking for the Baruch Shalom. He's looking to the same thing like with the masks and all the rest of this stuff. He's looking to validate his opinion. And his opinion, wherever it came from, his opinion is that this is the ultimate value of being a Jew. How do we measure a true Jew? Somebody who marches in a parade, who puts up a flag, and says, yeah, and says, how? That's, and he wants to validate. And that you are the living discreditation of what he believes in. And that annoys him. That's why somebody yells at you across the street also without the mask. Because you're invalidating him. The big thing now is, validate me. Oh. You are invalidating me. You are disrespecting me. What does that guy care whether you say halal or not? Does he ask if you put on tefillin today? Did you put on tefillin today? He asks if you put on tefillin? He asks you, did you say in your shul, did you say Yom HaTzmut? Did you make a Yom HaTzmut thing? What is that? Because I'm invalidating him by not doing that. I'm making him, I'm saying, your entire Yiddishkeit is based upon Yom HaTzmut. You have one Yiddishkeit one day of the year. I have Yiddishkeit the rest of the year. You have one day of the year. And you think that I'm invalidating your one day, which is your whole Yiddishkeit. You think I'm invalidating that. That hurts you. I'm sorry. I don't mean to hurt you. I just don't agree with you, but I don't mean to hurt you. And do whatever you like in your shul. I have no problem with that. You never catch me going around burning flags. I don't care about that. As a matter of fact, I get emotional about it too. It makes me happy that Jews are the same way that Tzaddik was saying, that I don't agree with the Torah character, but I admire a certain tenaciousness and a certain insanity that they have. I admire that. I don't agree with them, but I admire that. And when I see with the flags, I said, I admire that too, because I like Jews who are idealistic. I have a soft spot in my heart for idealistic Jews, even if I disagree with them. Even if I disagree with the ideology, I respect idealism. I like idealism. I feel idealism is at least an idealistic person is a good thing. But he can't stand that Eish Kodesh, whether we say halal or not. That's what's bothering me. We don't say halal. What about all the other good things that maybe we have an nice lachadaydi over here? What about that? Yeah, in those places they make rules. They're afraid during COVID you shouldn't sing lachadaydi too loud. Like, that was a big challenge for them, how to prevent an outburst of song. The same people, the anti-Yom HaTzmaut, the anti-Eish Kodesh. Where is it coming from, this stuff? I experienced this from the day that I walked into the community. Where does that come from? It comes from Elokus. It comes from Baruch Shalom. It comes from Halacha. It comes from seeking the truth. Where does it come from? Insecurity. You're invalidating me. You're saying you're making yourself holier than I am. Who do you think you are? It's coming from all these funny things. It's not coming from a longing for the truth, for what's good, for what's right. It's not coming from elokus. It's coming from the katness of a person. Again, I'm not talking about the gedolim. The gedolim don't talk that way. The gedolim have no problem. The gedolim have the big gedolim from that camp have no problem with the other Jews who don't say halal Yom HaTzmaut. They have no problem with that. Rav Aviner would never, who says halal Yom HaTzmaut, he would never come over to you and say, what's the matter with Eish Kodesh? Never. Never. He would say, That's your mahalach. Your people, you care about Yiddishkeit, you care about davening, you want to make Yiddishkeit strong, ashreicha. I disagree with you. I think you should say hello. Say that. That's okay. That's okay. But again, where's the anger? Where's that inning of challenging, of asking? You could send this shiur to every single member of all these synagogues. Send it out to them. But they wouldn't even open it. They wouldn't look at it. Because it would be dangerous to do that. Because he's crazy and it's an invalidation and all the stuff that they've invested their whole lives into. Just daven and learn. There's much more that we have in common. We all daven the same way the rest of the year. Why are you getting so upset about one day of Yom HaTzmaut? That has to do with Torah Mitzvahs. That has to do with Yiddishkeit. It has to do with you're seeking a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're finding a connection to God. Something else. And do whatever you like. I have no problem with you. I respect you. But what are you coming with the Taina to me? I don't come with the Taina to you. What are you coming with the Taina to me? That's the long version. The shorter version is to say, Afreilchen Tag. Zygism, because they don't want to hear what you have to say anymore. It makes absolutely no difference what you say. The same thing when it comes to the business with the COVID here and the COVID there. No difference what you say. That's why all of the diburim, all these arguments is Havel Havalim. Havel Havalim. Because just like we've been learning about the whole time, no one sees the other side, Kihuza. No one sees that at all. What Rav Kook is talking about, Tov HaKlal is the Tachlis HaToiv, the Tachlis, which is Toiv, which is Elokus, and which is the Shoirish of all that exists. And that's why we are learning in the Shabbos Chabur that every single week the Baruch Shalom brings us back to that place where we're refreshed with that truth of Rosh HaDechot, of Shabbos, of HaTov HaKlal, of reminding us, why are you in this world? You could tell the person, I recommend that you open up Mesillas Yesharim, open up Mesillas Yesharim and learn the first paragraph of the first parak. Try that. And then come back to me and yell at me about Eish Kodesh. Open up the first paragraph of you. Everybody believes in Mesillas Yesharim. Chassidim, Litvisha, Modern, everybody likes Mesillas Yesharim. Open up and read the first words. Yisoid HaChassidus, V'shar Yishavet HaTimishis, Bar B'Yisam, Yisrael Adam, Ma'achay V'asob Arlam. Who are you in this world and what are you working for in your life? What is it? What's your goal in life? What do you want to achieve in your life? So you're asking me, what do I want to achieve? And I'm asking you, what do you want to achieve? What is your goal in life that you're asking me this question? What's your goal in life? What's my goal in life? Let's compare notes. Let's see. Let's talk about machavaso ba'olamo. Are you asking yourself that question? When you're going with all your stuff in the Yom HaTzmaut, are you asking yourself that question? Machavasi balami? And if you are, and that's your conclusion, God bless you. That's okay. And if I am asking myself that question in the morning, machavasi balami when I got up, and I came to a different conclusion, and I don't say halal on Yom HaTzmaut, then respect me too, give me a bracha. Machavasi balami. But olamo. Everybody has his own world, you know? Machavaso be olamo. It doesn't say, the Ramchal didn't say, she is bar, vi is arme, yis esel odom, machavoso be'olam. It says, machavoso be'olamo. For my kids, I felt it was better to send to this school and that school. That's olami. You understand? That's my world. Don't mutch me with my world. I know my world better than you do. If that's your world, you want to encamp in that world, gesintahai, enjoy it. Bisun in Swansik. And you can make all the holidays you like. I'm happy for you. But that's your world. Machavaso ba'olamo. This is my world. You have a tain against my world? Mind your own business. That's an old expression here in America. Mind your own business. You have your own world. I have my own world. I'm respecting your world. You respect my world. We're both Jews that observe halacha. You don't respect my world. You have tainus on my world. Review the first sentence of Mesillas Yesharim. That's an eitzah. To begin with, if you just look at the beginning, until so. Okay, to be continued.